World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got some breaking news this morning. Boy, it sure makes me feel better. I better show you here on my phone. I don't know if you can see it. Miley Cyrus has now come out as a switch hitter. She's a switch hitter. She doesn't care what she has sex with. She's a switch hitter. So there's your big news for today. Except for Hannah Montana swings both ways, evidently. I wonder why the media promotes her. Do you think she would be that popular if they quit promoting her? Do you ever stop and think about that, folks? Why some people become stars and other people don't? And somebody please tell me, what the heck happened to Shania Twain? Huh? Have you guys seen her lately? Jim, there's a good one for you, Spencer. See if you can dig that up real quick. What the heck happened to Shania Twain? She used to be a cute little Canadian brunette. Well, right? Look, it ain't even her anymore. That ain't Shania. That's Shania Twain? What the heck is going on? Do you guys think I need a facelift? Gino, you think I ought to get a facelift? I go get maybe I get my beard shot up, get my nose tightened real well, pull that skin back. You think they'd promote me then? Would that get me on Fox News? I don't care. So look, here's what you better understand. That's what I'm going to dive into here again. You have better understand that the wicked one is actively involved in every aspect of the culture. He is the one driving the culture. And if you were to just stop and think a minute right now, can anybody name for me some godly, righteous, Jesus-loving media star? Can anybody name one? Well, there may be some that will talk about Jesus off stage. Is there anybody out there promoting God-fearing men and women as media stars? Oh, no, they'll talk about trannies. They'll talk about all these people, all these diversities. And where are the God-fearing news anchors?
There's some on Newsmax. I can't remember his name. Junior. His last name is Junior. Something Junior, and I can't remember. But he talks about Jesus a lot.
Is he on the mainstream media, or does he have a podcast like
well,
me?
Newsmax.
On the mainstream media? Huh?
Newsmax.
That ain't mainstream. Look, they got all kinds of diversity and tolerance and everything on NBC and ABC. And no mention of Jesus. No inclusivity with Christians. There ain't no Christian coming and giving their perspective, right? That's right. Why is that? Stream of consciousness. How do we get in the point in America where everywhere we look is deviancy? The deviancy is promoted. And they call it tolerance and diversity. And it's all debauchery. The more debaucherous you become, the better your chances are of advancing in Hollywood. And can I say, Brett, if you're out there, Brett, country music's about the same. They're a little bit better, but it's all the production and advancement of debauchery. Okay, I don't know how I got on. Kevin Van's story is about to, his hand's about to break, so go ahead, Kevin.
You had John Jones, who come out and is probably the greatest UFC fighter, pronounce the name of Jesus Christ right after he won the last fight, and Trump was sitting there, And then you had you got John Rich, who used to be a huge country star that has done it. But as far as, you know, actually it's turning. The big ship is turning a little bit.
It is.
There are some big names out there. So, but
Kevin, we know this. If you want to crush your career, use that J word. Use that J word, baby, and you ain't gone anywhere. Hannah Montana. Hannah, who decided that Hannah Montana was going to become a icon? Britney Spears. Who decides these people are going to become media icons? Here's what I think. I think Dave Allison ought to become a media. Have you guys heard his music? If somebody came along and wanted to make Dave Allison a star, they could do it. He's got some good music he's written. We get in the car. I don't know if you guys know that. Sorry, stream of consciousness here. We got a Dave Allison CD. And we get in our car, and my grandkids say, "Hey, put that music on. Put that music on." And it's Dave Allison, J-E-S-U-S, J-E-S-U, and going through and our kids love it, and they sing. Why didn't somebody make Dave Allison a star? How does that work? It's all, well, Coach, he's not really good enough to be a star. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's good enough to be a star. But somebody has to make him a star. And the only way he makes a star, Dave, you're going to have to compromise, man. Huh? You're going to have to go out and rape a pig or do something like that. And once you go do that, then they'll make you a star. But if you're just going to go along and you're going to lift up the name of Jesus and you're going to, if you're just going to do that, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. And so we see that poor old Shania Twain. Now, all of a sudden, she's, hey, look it up for me real quick, Spencer. How old Shania Twain? I think she's nearly 60, maybe over 60, now looking like she's a teenager. How old is she? I used to really, really like her. Just how old? 59 years old. She's 60 years old, looking like she's 20. Man, folks, I'm telling you, boy. I'm telling you. Anyway, sorry to get on that kind of stuff. Are you ready for this? I picked up my phone yesterday. It's Paul Gosselin. Dr. Paul Gosselin. God bless Paul Gosselin. I had quite a conversation with him yesterday. First one I've been able to. And you know, I'm not going to go into details, but Paul can take phone calls now. He's not in jail. He's in hospital type thing. Not really. He's out of the hospital, but you can talk to him. Talk to him. And it's amazing. I mean, I'm not going to bring him on here. And it's amazing what they did to Paul Gosselin. It's amazing. So continue to pray for Paul. And if you have his phone number, give him a call. Talk to him. And I know he misses being on here. And he's probably got to be careful what he says because of the lawyers and yada, yada, yada. And for those out there, hey, Spencer, I don't know if you can find this. If you can find this, you are the sleuth. See if you can find the new doctor in New York who was arrested for shooting, whatever that was. That was a long time. If you find this, Paul Gosselin said he was shot, not just with a pistol. He was shot with a deadly weapon, baby. And he had no gun on him. He had no gun on him. And he didn't have any idea what all happened with it. So there it is. Official man shot by New Maine with a history of whatever. A man shot by New York police with Maine dog with a history of misconduct. You see how the media see what the media does? See what the media does? And they found the man, it later identifies Gosselin, who claimed to he never claimed to have a gun. He never claimed to have a gun. Hey, Roger Weaver. He got about an $800 million lawsuit, I think. I think he's got about an $800 million. Folks, at what point when you're surrounded by police, do they shoot you in the car rather than shoot out your tires? Where does that ever happen? So they have to say that he had a gun and he was threatening officers to make the whole thing make sense. Anyway, I don't want to get drunk in those weeds. Be praying for Dr. Paul. And if you have his number, you can, in fact, call him and talk to him now. And I really tried to encourage him yesterday. Hey, I need some help. One other thing. We'll get going here. Need some help. Anyway, I talked to Betty about that. We got to get our camper. The guys called me yesterday. It's ready to go. I'm going to need some help getting that thing down there. So if you're able to do that somewhere down in Carolina and help me get it from West Virginia over to anyway, God bless him. God bless him. I got a question to know right now. Maybe we ought to start. Jay Harrison called me the other day. Excuse me. And he asked me a question and gets my brain running a little bit. Why aren't we, us, I'm talking about us. Why haven't we started a movement to get billions of dollars to the hurricane people? Why haven't we done that? Why haven't we been stomping around, calling our elected officials? Why haven't we been raising a stink saying, quit sending money to the Ukraine, give three, if you're just going to give out money, give $3 million to those people down, $3 billion, $50 billion. If it's just play money, rebuild for those people down there. How come that's not going on? How come that isn't on this? If this was happening in the ghetto, we would sure know about it, wouldn't we? Every night on the nightly news, they'd be telling us about it. So I don't want to make this show again about the hurricane. What's going on? What is going on? Why won't our elected officials demand they take care of Americans? I don't get it. I do get it. I'm going to get into some of that here in a second. That. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything for the good of the group before I jump in here and go? I got somewhere I'm taking here this morning. Brett, they hate us. Folks, they hate MAGA Christians. They hate Christians and they hate MAGA. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. We do not understand the spiritual war, how real the spiritual war is that's going on around us. And folks, it is for control of the earth. That's what it's for. It's for control of the earth. And for whatever reason, those of us who carry the name of Christ and who are his representatives, who have enlisted in his army, we're missing in action in this battle that's going on. And just look across the spectrum of America and try to find anything righteous in mainstream media or mainstream government. Just try to find anything and ask yourself, how's that possibly happen? In a nation of us, 60% of Americans who claim Christianity is everyone, 60% of people, and everything is minority. See, it's all part of a plan, right? It's all part of a plan. And unfortunately, we have fallen into that trap. Okay, I want to show you some stuff here today. Go to number five real quick. And somebody, I'm just going to read this. Well, let's go down through this together. John 8:44. Because, hey, Betty, we're all God's children. We're all God's children, right? Folks, we're just all God's children. Isn't that what they taught you in your church? God loves us all. We're all God's children. John 8:44, Jesus Christ himself said in the ESV, that's the English Standard Version, you are of your father, the devil. Is Jesus lying? Is this just an alliteration? Is this just a seminar? What does this mean? What does this mean? You are of your father, the devil, and your will. What? And your will is to do your father's desires. This is the ESV. I'll get to the King James here in a minute. Because why? Your daddy was a murderer. Huh? From the beginning. What? My daddy was a murderer from the beginning. Not my daddy. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth. Betty, because there is no truth in him. It is impossible for him to tell the truth. When he lies, in other words, when he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar. Hey, and the father of them. He's not just a liar. He's a granddaddy liar. He's a liar of all of them, right? And let me ask you something. How often do you, me, find yourself not wanting to tell the truth? Somebody says something and you don't, so you fib, just a little fib. To see your father, the devil, he's constantly trying to reclaim ground. You're born again. You're now a child of the king, and the devil wants to rope you back in. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand? Go down to the King James Version. What does it say? John 8:44. Oh, you are of your father. Hey, Gene Schroeder, can that be any more clear than that? Can it be any more clear that not everybody's God's child? You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father, you will do. Because he was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth, because there is how much truth in him? How much truth's in him?
None.
Hey, game story. How much truth is in him? None. There is no truth in him.
Boom.
And when he speaks, it's a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. I wonder how many children he has in Washington, D.C. I wonder how many children he has in your local government. I wonder how many children, so I'm sorry, I got to say it. I wonder how many children he has standing in the pulpit. Because not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Where's that, Spencer? By the way, again, folks, are you looking at me? Kingdom does not mean heaven. The kingdom of God is within us. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Did Spencer find it? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, kingdom of God's within. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom, yes, we're going to heaven, but the kingdom is already here. It's already here. It's inside me. It's inside me. The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's inside me. I already got that. It's here. But not everyone who goes to church and calls him Jesus does the will of their father. If any, give me two booms.
Because, folks,
if we start putting this stuff together and we begin to realize that some of the people that we're trusting on, even those who claim the name of Christ, their daddy isn't Jesus. They're not born again from above. That's the only way that you become a child of God. You receive Christ. You come into his family. You are adopted in. Oh, I'm not going to say that, Lord. Okay, I'll say it. And what is a modern American? Get your toes up. What is modern Americans? What are they focusing on? A country over in the Middle East where they hate Christ. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. They hate Christ. They hate him. I won't say it. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. Those who say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Folks, there is a spiritual war raging in front of us. And you understand this. The truth will set you free. And the lies put you in bondage. So how does the devil operate? I'm glad you asked, Betty. I'm glad you asked. Pull up number 8. You'll never hear this in your church. Demons are real. And we can get into whether they're fallen angels, whether they're Nephilim, whatever. We can get into all that. But you better hear me. If you believe in angels, you better believe in demons. Because demons just bad angels. Same thing. You can go to a bad doctor. You can go to a bad mechanic. You can go to a bad lawyer. You can go to a bad radio program. There's good and bad, right? There's good and bad. How do demons operate? They cause physical violence. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. So we have two men possessed of the devil. Number two, demons cause sickness. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. Do you see that? She wasn't just sick. She had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years. What would a spirit of infirmity be? Well, that'd be a devil. That'd be a demon, I think. Huh? And she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Wow. Keep going. Go on. This next one. Demons cause torment. As well as those who were tormented with what kind of spirits, Betty? What kind of spirits were they tormented with? Why? Unclean spirits. So there are spirits that are able to attack a person. Evidently, unclean spirits. Because there's the Holy Spirit. What did Newton say? For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. If there are angels, there are demons, right? Which ones are following? Which ones are tormenting you? Four, demons cause manifestations. Four, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Have you ever been in a situation where you talk to somebody and you're listening to them and the Holy Spirit says to you, that's a demon? You ever been there, folks? You ever been there? And so if the Holy Spirit indwells us, is it possible that an evil spirit can indwell somebody not born again to the Spirit of God? Probably. This is a good link, by the way. You can. He's wrong. Go to number five. Keep going. Demons have doctrines. What? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Demons will cause people to depart from their faith. Demons will deceive people. New age, many roads to heaven, work-based salvation. Demons have and will spread their doctrine, infiltration of the occult spirituality, schools of thought that teach Christ isn't the only way and denies. Those are doctrines of demons. Are you looking at me? What are they teaching in your school? Demons are like flies. What? Satan is also known as Beelzebub, the Lord of Flies. Demons are often referred to as flies because they act similarly. They feast on dead things. Somebody say boom for me. Say, Coach, I ain't never heard anything like this. Somebody
boom.
Say
boom.
Boom.
And big flies come in, open doors. Okay, doors open? You doing anything that's opening the door? Let demons come in. Impurity is demon's nature. If a person has a strong desire for ungodliness, often this is a telltale sign that they have demons. Not possessed, but oppressed possibly. These demons create a strong desire in a person's life for defiled things. Flies like dead things. And they use the person's eyes, mouth, and body to get what they desire. They can't get impure things without using a body. Many times, this is why people desire to stop smoking, drink, or even watching porn, but they can't stop. They got a demon. A demon. Wow. I said, Coach, this is so good. The Bible says, well, go back a minute. Huh? Go back and do not give the devil a stronghold. Topos is what that is in the Greek, a position of opportunity. If you got a problem looking at porn, don't open your computer when you're alone. Because you're giving the devil a position of opportunity. If you're trying to lose weight, put a lock on the refrigerator. Because that's the way the enemy will come. 7, demons inhabit people, places, objects, and animals. You out there, Stephanie, giving me an amen? Huh? You guys have some charged stuff in your house? Huh? Throughout Scripture, we see the power of God moving through objects, causing healing and deliverance. We see examples of this with the rod of Moses, the saliva of Jesus, the shadow of Peter, and even the handkerchief of Paul. When it comes to the kingdom of darkness, the devil operates in like manner. Demons will often inhabit people, but will also settle for less.
Amen.
Oh, God, say, Coach, I feel like I'm going to church. I ain't never heard this stuff. I've been in church my whole life. Huh? When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking the rest and can't find it. Then it says, I'll return to my house. I left. When it arrives, it finds the house occupied, swept clean, and put in order. So if you have a drinking problem and you get victory over it, stop getting tempted by alcohol. Stay away from it. If you have a problem with pornography, stay away from it. Put a lock on it because you can clean the house. But if you leave the door unlocked, those flies are coming back in. Boom. Somebody say, but you don't have to. Demons love to inhabit people, but they will settle for inhabiting a place or an object. For instance, Mark speaks about demons living in the tombs. By the way, Michelle and I staked our home. We staked the bedrooms in our home. We staked our property. We declared all of this property off limits to the devil. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Jesus was tempted of devils. A number who had practiced sorcery brought the scrolls together and burned them publicly. Stephanie did that. Didn't you, Stephanie? Up at Sky High, didn't you burn all that stuff that you collected and all those spirits that you'd, the spells that you'd cast and all that? You threw that in the fire and burned that publicly up at Sky, didn't you, Stephanie? Yes, she sure did. The number who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And he said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Wow. 8, demons oppose God's ministers and ministries. Oh, yeah. Amen. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. So let's say I don't want to come off as holier than thou, but let's just use me as an example. So here I am at Coach Dave Live, and I'm devil's got no hook in me that I know of now. I mean, we're all tempted, right? Devil doesn't have any hook in me, right? But he can sure do a good job of muddying my name, maybe through gossip. What others might say, what others might think. You understand how that attack goes? So he cannot stop what I'm doing, but he can stop the effectiveness of it. Get that? Right? So Coach Dave, he's just a loud mouth. You can't believe him. By the way, you know, he's putting all that money in his pocket anyway. He and his wife don't really get, you know, right? Right? So they can't get me, but they can get the effectiveness of what I do. Wow. A great question. Where are some of the people that used to be in here? Where are they? Now, I don't care if they're here. They oppose God's ministers. 9, they blind the minds of unbelievers through deception. Just go to Facebook. Huh? They got you all. I'm sorry. I'm almost laughing. They got you all to take a shot, a jab. Not one, but two sometimes. They got you all to wear masks. They got you all to socially distance. They got you all to shut down your church. Huh? Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Why? Because they blind the minds of unbelievers through deception. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Scroll on down, Spence. I'm about done. This is really good, by the way. I'm putting a chat for you. whose minds the God of this age has blinded and who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Hey, Betty, you ever heard this in church? They oppress people. Demons oppress people. They don't necessarily possess you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Oppressed from the devil. Could it be that healing is simply deliverance from the oppression of the devil? Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Final thought. We know that although demons have the power to inflict pain and cause suffering to people, Jesus, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Demons tremble and fear the power of Jesus. No matter what bondage you may be facing in Christ, you can find freedom. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And it goes, I'm kind of piggyback. I'm going to open it up here in just a second. I'm kind of piggybacking in what I was talking about two weeks ago, about all of you, all of us, we're being oppressed by the devil and we don't even know it. We're listening to what the devil says. We act on what the devil says. We believe the worst about people. We lie, we gossip, right? Because why? We're not possessed of the devil, but we are oppressed of the devil. Go to number 7, then I'm going to open it up. What are demons? Demons, according to the Bible, are evil fallen angels who followed Satan instead of God. When Satan was cast out of heaven, the demons fell with him instead of staying in their place as God's ministers of good. Somehow evil was found in them. Ezekiel. Description of the fall of Satan as demons can be found in Revelation. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Satan's fall is also shown symbolically, blah, 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 blah. So these folks, they've been cast down to the earth, but they don't rule here. They own Miley Cyrus. They own Britney Spears. They own Snoop Dogg, Snoop Cat. They own many in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party. They are of their father, the devil. What's the purpose of demons? Just as God's angels are sent to praise him and aid believers, Satan demons are sent, are bent on the besmirching of God's name in the earth and the destruction and deception of those who love and serve him. The Bible calls demons evil spirits, unclean spirits, and asserts that they are indeed the angels of Satan. Satan and his demons also attack Christians and do battle with the holy angels. Demons, like the holy angels, are spiritual beings that can sometimes take on a physical. Put all this in the chat. You can read it for yourself. The demons are powerful. And the Bible indicates that any human being who trifles with demons is entering foolish and dangerous territory. However, though the demons, fallen angels, are enemies of God and humanity, they're defeated enemies. Satan may be the prince of this world, but he ain't king of the world. He may be prince, but he ain't king over all things. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Angie, come on in.
This is a great article. Man, very, very powerful. I think it's really important to know, and so many people get wrapped up, that you know the oppression versus the possession is very important to understand the distinction. But one of the things that we have to do as believers is also understand that unless someone is willing to let go of their demons, they won't be delivered. You have to be willing to let those demons go. You can't let them continue to have a foothold in your life. And I mean, they're like a blanket sometimes for a lot of people. I've seen people all the time. They complain about this. They complain about that. It's the demons around them oppressing or possessing, but they're not willing to let that blanket go. They're not willing to let go of it. And so you have to absolutely work at the core of the problem and why they won't let those demons go. So if you're continuing to have these oppressions and these spiritual possessions, you just have to stop and ask yourself, what is it I'm not letting go of, and why am I not letting it go? Because that is the heart of what's happening. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including getting rid of these, but you've got to be willing to let them go.
So we know this, demons have a voice. What? Oh, yeah. Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And another voice they will not hear. Now, that word hear is interpreted wrongly. My people hear and obey my voice. And that other voice, they will not hear and obey. Because you know this, you're constantly hearing that other voice. Would somebody say amen? I'm constantly hearing that other voice, whether it's my sin nature, whether it's a spirit, whatever it is. That's what doing good is all about. Doing good means saying no to bad, right? Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So evidently, the demons can plant thoughts. Wow, how does that work? How does that work? And plan a thought. So my wife comes down here this morning to turn on the power in my computer. She ran that errand for me today. And she comes back up and she says, honey, the lights don't come on. So she's planted a thought in my head. She's worried that my studio lights aren't going to work. I could have panicked. Oh, no. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I said, oh, honey, look, people walk upstairs, it loosens the bulbs. That's all it is. We just got to tighten the bulb. Meaning what? I didn't take the panic bait. I didn't take it. Oh, no. What am I going to do? I didn't take it. And then take it. Not that there's something more holy and righteous than my wife. That's not my point. But I could have let that thought ruin my morning. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You with me, friends? So the way we react often is out of fear. It's one of the greatest lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. Follow the yellow brick road. Lies, deception, and fear. And the reason the prosperity message, this is from the Lord, man. The reason the prosperity message is so popular in America is because people fear lack. You got that? They're afraid of lack. They're not going to have enough. And the prosperity message counters that message. And so they cling on to that message. Prosperity message. Name it, claim it. Yada, 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 yada. Mind games. All right. Somebody come on. I got more. Somebody come on in. Come on. How do we take captive every thought? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Why do we have a tendency to believe every bad bit of gossip that we hear? Why is that? Why do we believe that? Somebody says something to me. You know what that daggone Chad did? You know what I do? I call Chad. I say, Chad, you do that? I say, no, hell, that wasn't what I meant. Well, okay. So somebody planted something that wasn't true. And then somebody decided they would believe it. Why did they decide they would believe it? I don't know. Past experience? past wounding. I know guys like you. I've heard people like you. Come on in, Mary Beth.
I heard a saying yesterday, and it says gratitude shifts your attitude from what you lack to what you have. And so instead of having a spirit of fear, have a spirit of gratefulness.
Easier said than done, though, Mary Beth.
Yep.
An attitude of gratitude, right? That's why sometimes I come on here, and you guys know this. I come on, oh, God, thank you for my eyelashes. Thank you for my ears. Oh, Lord, thank you for my toes.
Amen.
Remember, I wrote that commentary the other day? Because why? We tend to focus on bad. Bad. See, also understand this. Not everything's a demon. Sometimes it's just consequences of life. It just is. Just a consequence of life. Surrounded by lousy, lousy people. So it comes back to where I started, sort of started. Why isn't there a move to give $1 billion to the hurricane victims? It's been 5 weeks. Is anybody coming up with that? Why? What's going on? Wouldn't politicians get votes if they voted for money for those people down there? What is going on? The politicians blindly support giving money to the Ukraine, blindly support giving money to Israel, but they don't get in line to protect the people in North Carolina, in Tennessee. What y'all think that is? What is going on? What do you think that is? I'm asking. Somebody give me an answer. There's something.
Government wants to destroy us.
It's not government, though, is it? It's not government. Yes, Amanda. It's a spirit of Antichrist.
Can I get in, Coach?
Yeah, cool. Please.
Coach, no greater love than this has any man than if he laid down his life for his friend. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Coach, when we love ourselves too much, we don't do any of those other things.
No, we don't.
Comes down to self, Coach. Choosing your will over God's will. Choosing my day over God's day. Choosing what I want to do rather than what I should be doing.
That's
it's
right.
always me. That is the problem. It's my soul that doesn't want to serve God, that wants to serve me. That's the start, Coach, right there.
Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Me, my. What's in it for me? Because, folks, that's your carnal nature. It's your carnal nature. We have to understand a lot of this stuff isn't demons. A lot of it's just your carnal nature. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. If you grew up, I told you my mother used to talk about when they were little kids, they got an orange for Christmas during the Depression. They got an orange. My mom said that they would peel the orange and they would chew the inside part of the peel. And they would just, for day, 2-3 days, they'd sit around and nibble on this orange. Now we live in a time of abundance. And what? We want more. We want more. We don't just want to have a car. We want to have a new car. And not only do we want to have a new car, we want to have a truck. We want to have a, I'm not making fun of anybody. If you can buy a truck, God bless you. That's not what I'm about. But if your purpose in life is a simple fulfillment of joy in your own life, golly, how shallow is that? Me, myself, and I. The three enemies of the cross, me, myself, and I. Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. Or we become so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We truly are, brother. We stay saved in the Lord for so long, brother, that we just reject our neighbors, right? What are the two greatest commandments? He says, even Paul writes in Galatians, he says the whole law can be summed up in these two commandments, to love the Lord God and to love your neighbor. And if we're taking Colossians chapter 3, I believe 17, it says, whatever we're doing, Coach, If you're going to the grocery store today, or if you're going to work, whatever you're doing, you do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord and on a demand. In other words, everything has kingdom purpose involved in it. Every action in our day has a potential of kingdom increasing. I sent you the picture yesterday, right, Coach? You want to see what love is to your neighbor, right? Show a movie out in front of your house, put some pizzas out on the table, and watch the people stop. Right? Play Charlie Brown Christmas and watch people stop, and you'll have an opportunity to interact with them about the gospel.
Amen, Dale. In fact, I'm going to look for that right now that you sent to me yesterday. Did it come up? I can't find it, Dale. Send it to me again.
And okay.
Jeff Klein. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, can you have Spencer put up that first article you wrote, went through?
Sure.
Put it in the chat. Thanks.
Put it in the chat? Are you asking me to put it in the chat, Jeff, or throw it back up? What did you ask?
Put it in the chat.
Put it in the chat. Hey, folks, again, hey, Spencer, for those of you out there who are watching Coach Dave Live, maybe you're new, whatever, and you're watching it on other platforms, when the show is over, you can go to Coach Dave Live. And every show will have the links at the bottom of it. Every link we use on the show will appear in the show at the bottom. So if you're driving down your car, road in a car, you're doing whatever, you're listening, yada, yada, you can go to Coach Dave Live and you can get all the links of it there. All right. So we'll put it in there. I will also try to put them in the chat. Dale just sent me that picture. Hang on, Dale. I gotta ask something. Oh man! Well, that'll get us off gear. No, I gotta ask it, just because myself. I gotta ask it. You really think they caught that guy that shot that?
Heck no!
Healthcare professional. You really what? What? They find all these pictures. I have a picture here and a picture here and a picture here and a picture. Well, here he is. What? What? Huh? By the way, if they did, then we're under surveillance more than we even understand, baby. I'll tell you that. Oh, they sold us one on that one, man. They sold us. Dale, I'm still looking here. Let me see if I can get this off to Spencer. Yeah, Spencer, I don't know how I get this stuff to you. I'm just going to send one to you, Spence. And then you, come on here. And then you show it. You talk about an outreach. Oops, I'll put the Jared. I'm not even putting a name on it, all right, Spencer? I'm just shooting it to you. Send it. This is what Dale Socia does. How he ministers the gospel. Explain what you did, Dale, as we put it up on the screen.
First, I'm just going to go back and recap. It was December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night. Coach, this is when I got saved. This time of the year is huge to me. And these are my neighbors. These are people who are walking up and down the street. I have people driving by my house. They saw I was playing Charlie Brown Christmas, and then I played Elf. And I put pizza and drinks out there, and people came back with their kids. With the fellowship of people in my church, we had the opportunity to minister to people in my neighborhood. You know why, Coach? Because we love our neighbor more than we even love ourselves. And it is such a great opportunity. So we play. I have an 8-foot projector.
I sent you another picture, Spencer. Throw it up. Go ahead, Dale.
I put a PA system out there, and we randomly, and you know who asked me? It wasn't me this year. It was my neighbors across the street who came last year when you were at the church, and they said, Dale, when are you going to do those movies again? I'm telling you, Coach, what are your neighbors remembering you by? And this is the Charlie Brown Christmas. And what a story about it. The only time that Linus ever puts his blanket down is at the end of that movie when he quotes Luke chapter 2.
So, folks, this is a picture out of Dale's house. This is outside his house. He puts the screen up, and neighbors come and watch. And Dale uses it as he uses Christmas as an evangelical outreach. Why? Because people are open to the gospel during Christmas season. Trent, come on in.
Coach. 1 John 2, verse 15.
Pull that up. 1 John 2,
verse 15.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
And keep going, Coach. I hate that it just pulls up one verse.
Okay, well, that's what we told him. There we go, 15. For all that is in the world, which is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that ain't of the Father. That ain't of the Father. It's of the world. And the world passes away, but the lust thereof, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Powerful, Coach. I mean, sometimes when we get in our dark places, you know, it says all, right, Coach? So that's what everybody is falling into anyways. And then it goes on and says, you know, you're waiting for the Antichrist. But there's many Antichrists already. So that tells you right there what God thinks about the Antichrist already, you know, and there's yeah. many.
The yin and the yang is this. I'm just going to use this as an illustration. I'm looking up here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Jeff Klein, he gets in a bind. He says, Coach, I can't pay my bills. I can't pay my bills. I want to ask you something. When somebody says that to you, folks, what's the first thing you think of? Come on.
What are you doing wrong? You're doing something wrong.
Well, I wasn't what I was going to. It's probably true.
Don't get a job.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can help you?
Yes. Can I afford to help? If I give it, am I okay? See, we are all personally focused on us and our need and lack. Lack is of the devil. If Jeff Klein called me, said, Coach Dave, I need $500. I'm going to have to close. I shouldn't hesitate. If I got to go take it out of the bank, I shouldn't hesitate to love my brother. You get it? And what I'm trying to show you is our carnal nature is always about us first. I'll give it to him if I still got enough left. With me? That's of our father, the devil. Mark Trump, come on in.
Yeah, just like in that verse 2:15 there, Coach. Have you thought about this? What happens when the devil's locked away? Think about the voices you talked about, the lusts. Think about the Garden of Eden. Think about not having chirling in your ear, or maybe they did the whole time up until they fell. But what is it going to be like not having the whispers, not having the fleshly desires?
Mm.
What would our emotions be like without that pulling on us like an anchor all the time? What is it going to be like, Coach?
Amen.
The reality is we can be there now if we can submit and let go enough.
Amen.
You know, that's the vision that God probably had for us with before the fall and knowing that, you know, we were built in his image. So I'm saying, Coach, this is a big message. I love how that verse tied in with the lust will go away. It says it right there.
You will go away.
With the world, but we will live forever. What is that going to be like without that? I'm just saying, that's amazing to me.
Amen, amen. So I'm going to give all of you a challenge. Some of you won't do it. I want you to take $100. You make it $10 bills. You can make it $20 bills. You can make it $5. I don't care whatever you want to. You go to your local Kroger's or go to your local Walmart or go to whatever. And just stand there and look at the people at the checkout. And see if the Holy Spirit won't tell you, go give her $10. Put on a cross hat. Go give her $10. And see not only what it does to her, but what you feel inside. And if we could somehow, all of us, I'm talking about me, break through that selfish spirit. We act like we serve a God of lack rather than a God of abundance. You mean I can take 10 bucks out of my pocket and give it to some lady at Kroger's and it'll make her day? Are you kidding me? That simply, I can do that? Just $10 piece of paper? Piece of, if we have this selfishness or this spirit of lack, if I give this away, where's my next dollar coming from? See, that's one of the most, that's one of the biggest denials of the gospel right there. It's the biggest denial. He said, given it shall be given unto you. And you don't give. Why don't you give? Because you don't believe it's going to be given unto you. You don't believe in the law of sowing and reaping. And I'm not trying to get your money. I'm telling you, give money to somebody else. Find a stranger, put on a cross hat, and say, hey, I want to help you this Christmas. I see you got 3 children. Oh, my goodness. Things are so tight. Here's $20. Let me help. Folks, it'll so soften your heart, and you'll see the reaction of the person you give it to, and you're going to want to go clean out your bank account. Give them more. Give them more, because you see the joy. And the Lord said it's better to give than to receive. You'll see it. You'll feel the joy of it. And it might break that spirit of selfishness off of you. Moderator, come on in.
Well, I was going to add in on Trent's suggestion there on 1 John 2 there, but I went to 20 and 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And this is really one that got me right here was, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if I'm compelled to repent for the things that I've done or doing, then I have an arrogancy that I said, I'm going to be all right. The Lord doesn't have like a list of white sins or small sins that are over here that he's like, I'm okay with these. Okay with those. So as long as you're not doing those and you're only doing these, you're all right. No, it's anything that dirties up the water, in his opinion. Anything that's not Christ-like, that's what we need to be cleaning that up. Hallelujah.
So they went out from us. Stay right here a second. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Watch this. But ye have an unction. Hey, Spencer, what's an unction? Guys ever get an unction? Do you ever get an unction?
A nudging of your conscience, huh?
The act of anointing. What? Oh, yeah. You ever get an unction from the Holy Spirit to do something? And you don't do it? Are you kidding me? There's an anointing with that. You look at your children. Your adult children, are they struggling? Would $500 from you so relieve your children? Your neighbor? Do you ever have an unction? If you do, I think you ought to act on it. Go back to that scripture. An anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all these things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You're standing there in Walmart or Kroger's, and to walk up to somebody, the checkout at Kroger's, I do it every once in a while. I'm not bragging. I do it every once in a while. The lady up there, she's doing her checkout. And I get the unction. And I go up and say, man, I'd like to pay your bill. They about fall over. And there I stand with my cross hat on, and they look at me, and they don't even know what to say. And I just say, Merry Christmas. God bless you. Whatever. Folks, don't miss that unction. See you tomorrow.